I despise your killing and raping. You're despicable.
Are you my judge?
It's just, you should be punished. I'm going to chop off your arm. So you ready?
I'm ready. I hope you guys are ready. It's time for another episode of Asian Cinema Fusion. I am your host, Paul Martinez, talking about four more films on today's episode. Of course, our format is pretty much remaining the same as of now. It's two new films, well, fairly new, within the last 2 years I try to keep it, but really try to keep it within the last year. Also, we have an old school selection and a wild card, which is a movie that I really enjoyed that may have flew under the radar for some of you. Now, some of you film buffs probably know the movies I'm talking about, but I'm talking about films that, for the average, I don't know what's the right word to use, the novice, I guess, for Asian cinema, they may have not heard of these films, and so I like to shine a light on them. But let's get started with our first movie of the show, and this is SPL 2. A Time for Consequences. This is directed by Chang Po-soy, who's done movies like The Monkey King, Dog Bite Dog, Accident. It's starring Tony Jaa, the immortal Tony Jaa. Tony Jaa from Thailand. He plays Chat Chai. He's the star of the An Bok films, the Tom Young Goon, which is known in America as The Protector, and he was in Furious 7, which I did not see, but I know he was in that as well. Also starring Wu Jing as Chan Chi Kit, Wu Jing, who burst upon the scene, really, years ago in SPL, the first one, also was in Fatal Contact and had a role in Shaolin. Also starring Simon Yam, the great legend Simon Yam. He plays Chan Kwok Wa. Simon Yam has been in, well, I think I've said this before, we could do a whole show just naming Simon Yam films. Some of his more well-known films, PTU, Election 1 and 2, Full Contact, Ip Man 1 and 2. He was in Tomb Raider Part 2 for our American film fans. And Louis Koo, an actor I really like. He plays Hung Man Kong. He was in Drug War. He was in the Election films, the Overheard films, The White Storm. He was in Flashpoint, which we just talked about in our last episode. He was the undercover cop in Flashpoint. So our tagline for the movie is, "Cops all speak the same language." So what's this about? A Thailand prison guard must find a special donor to save his daughter who's dying of a disease. And he doesn't realize that the one match they found is actually being wrongfully detained in the same jail he works. Now, I heard so much bad about this film before watching it. And I have to say, 3/4 of the way through, I didn't see why. Not a very good film as far as acting goes, but there were some fantastic action scenes. And then the final 20 minutes happened. To say this spun out of control and over a cliff doesn't do it justice. It's more like after falling off the cliff, it was hit by a missile, and then a stray dog urinated on the remains. Okay, maybe that was a little bit much, but I definitely now see why this was not well received. But let's focus on the good, and that is the outstanding fight choreography. Wu Jing looked as good as he has in a long time. Tony Jaa, he didn't seem as polished as in years past, but he was still good. And Zhang Jin was fantastic. I don't know much about Zhang Jin, but I want to see a lot more of him. I thought Louis Koo was really good as the main villain, but with the exception of a select few Wu Jing scenes, the acting was anywhere from fair to bad. don't want to give too much away, but things happen at the end of this film that defy explanation. Let's add to that the confounding choice of soundtrack during the climactic fight scene left me scratching my head. Then to top it off, the even more curious song to close out the film. I'm telling you, it's like, I don't know what happened. This film was going along, and I literally was sitting here in my home saying to myself, why is everyone bashing this film? It's not an award winner, but this isn't bad. It's okay. It's an action film. And I realized in my head, I was saying, well, you know, maybe it's people are comparing it to the first SPL, which is one of the greatest films made in the last 15 years. And so, you know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe people are just comparing it to the first one. They didn't measure up, which it didn't. But man, what in the world happened at the end there? Just nothing made sense. I'm sitting there saying, what's happening? But overall, it's not a bad film to watch for martial art enthusiasts out there, especially fans of Wu Jing. It's a lot of great, great fight scenes. But for the more discerning movie watchers, you may be left with a bad taste in your mouth after the credit roll. I give this a 5 out of 10, and that's really solely on the fight scenes. And I hate to say that, because it probably, before the last 20 minutes, this would have got a solid 7. But that last batch of the film, just, I don't know what happened. It made no sense at all. Just insanity. By the way, SPL, for those who don't know, of course, I talked about SPL1, and for those who don't know, SPL1 is also known by its American name release, Killzone, which of course stars Donnie Yen and Sammo Hung as the heavy in that film. So if you've seen Killzone, this is the sequel, but it has nothing to do, totally different characters in it, no tie really to the first film at all. And SPL, which stands for Xiaopo Lang. What is Xiaopo Lang? It's something to do with Chinese astrology. It's three characters from Chinese astrology. So that's what Xiaopo Lang is. But yeah, it's widely known as SPL. And this is SPL2. It's, as far as I know, not known as Killzone 2. I don't think it's going to get an American release. And if it does, I don't think it's going to be called Killzone 2. But you never know. But like I said, if you really just like to watch some great fighting, great fights, I mean, here's two legends, really. I mean, the great Tony Jaa, maybe the biggest action star to come out of Thailand ever, and Wu Jing, who's, you know, the new blood of the, you know, of the Hong Kong action martial arts star. So, you know, to see these two guys go at it a couple of times, it's definitely good. And Zhang Jin, as I said, that's amazing, 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 amazing. So, yeah, check this out if you like the martial arts and you want to see the great fight scenes. But if you're just looking, if that's not a pull for you, and you're just looking for a good, solid film, then I'm not sure this is for you. Our next film, Baby, 2015 out of India. This is directed by Niraj Pandey, who previously had a huge hit called A Wednesday. I have not seen A Wednesday, but it is something I have heard of, and it's very well received. This film was very well received in the box office in India. It stars Akshay Kumar as AJ. He is best known probably for the film Family. Then we have a few other actors who I really haven't seen before this film. Danny Denzangpa as Faraz, Anupam Kher as Om Prakash Shukla, and Tapsi Pannu as Priya Shuri Yavanashi. I can't even pronounce the name. Priya. It's Shukla, it's Faraz, Shukla, Priya, and AJ. I mean, those are the characters' names. We don't really see their full names at all in the film anyway, so don't worry about how to pronounce their last names. But the tagline for this one is, for this team, no mission is impossible. So what's this about? It's an Indian Special Ops Task Force named Baby because it is a brand new experimental force, which they were going to give a 5-year plan to see if they got results, and so they nicknamed it Baby because it was their baby, like it was a pet project, and that's why it was called Baby. Well, they take on a Pakistan terrorist network. Now, as I said, this was a very popular film in India. This film reminded me a lot of Veteran, which we reviewed last show. Not as fun, although it did have a couple of lighthearted moments, mostly with Shukla, some with a character named Gupta as well. The first half of the film felt very cliched in parts, and I was having trouble getting invested. But once we met the rest of the team in the second half of the film, it became much more fun and likable. There's not any heavy thinking needed to enjoy this. It's a pretty straightforward film. Lots of action. And there's a really good fight scene with Tapsee Pannu, the character Priya, and a gentleman in a hotel room, which is maybe the highlight of the film in many ways. The acting, not anything that blew me away, but there wasn't anything cringeworthy either. I was not very fond of the performance from the woman who played AJ's wife. And I found the actor who plays Bilal, who is one of the main heavies. He was good in some scenes and then bad in others. Very strange. Almost like I felt sometimes he was overacting. But really, this film is about the action. And there is plenty of it, as well as some very good suspense mixed in here. Overall, I enjoyed the film. I didn't love it, but there is a sequel. I would watch it. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. If you haven't seen a good action Bollywood film, here's one to check out. Like I said, good action film. That won't disappoint you. Like I said, it's just, everything can't be an 8 and 9, It wasn't a bad film. Just didn't blow me away. So it was okay. It was alright. I wasn't angry that I watched it. I didn't turn off thinking, oh, what a waste of time. I was like, oh, it's good. I wonder if they're going to make a sequel. So, definitely something to check out. Time for our old school selection. This selection is Sanjuro. Okay, this film was made in 1962 out of Japan, as I said earlier. I wanted to say unofficial, but that's probably not fair. It is the official sequel to the widely successful Yojimbo, which we reviewed one of our first shows, probably episode 3. We reviewed Yojimbo, 2 or 3. And this is the sequel with the same starring character. And it is also directed by, I say legend a lot, but I mean the word legend really goes to Akira Kurosawa, who made, some of the biggest samurai films ever, Seven Samurai, of course Yojimbo, which I just mentioned, The Hidden Fortress, which for those who don't know, which is a film I do want to review, by the way, is, for those who don't know this, I would think everybody would know this nowadays, but maybe not. Hidden Fortress was the film that inspired George Lucas to make Star Wars. So that's a film that we're going to review very soon, I would say, in the next couple of episodes. But starring Toshiro Mifune, who plays Sanjuro. Of course, he was in Yojimbo. He was in Hidden Fortress and Rashomon. He pretty much is linked a lot to Akira Kurosawa films. Then we have Tatsui Nakadai. He plays Hanbei. He's known for the film Sword of Doom, which is a really good film, which I would probably like to at some point review in our old school segment, and Harry Carey, and then Yuzo Kayama, who plays Iori, he was also in Sword of Doom. Tagline of this film is, he will save them if he doesn't kill them himself. So what's this about? A group of young samurai want to do something about corruption in their town, but they complain to the wrong official, and now their lives are in danger. In comes our favorite Ronin, and with his guidance, he helps them to right the wrongdoers. And that's an overly simplified version of the plot, but like I say, I don't like to give away too much. I don't want you guys to feel like by me reviewing a film, you don't need to see it because I told you what's going to happen. I review films here, for the most part, that I hope you see, or I hope, as in the case of Dragonblade, to keep you away from. But so I try to give you a very bland. It's, of course, the film's a little more intricate than what I said, but you know, I don't want to give stuff away. As I said, this is a sequel to Yojimbo, and while I did not like this as much as I loved Yojimbo, I still enjoyed it very much. Toshiro is, of course, the reason. He is so good in this role. He's arrogant, insulting, but good-natured deep down, and a master strategist. Wow, had trouble saying that word. And also has a very good inner view of himself. He can take a look at things at the inside of men's hearts. And I think he's a very fascinating character. I wish there were more movies made with this character. Really, you could have made 10 films with Toshiro's character here. I just love his role in these two films, of this, you know, this wandering Ronin, who's so complicated and layered in so many ways. He's just a great character. The plot of the film is decent for its time. Easy to follow, but it's not a cookie cutter. What really is the best part of the movie is the comedy aspects. There is a running gag. This I'm going to give away, because it's just too funny to not speak of. There's a running gag of this captured guard early on in the film who stays in the closet of their hideout only to occasionally emerge to unveil some wisdom and then return to the closet. Just really funny. Like, he just pops out, says something profound. Everyone takes heed of what he says and then gives him that look like, okay, get your rear end back in the closet. Really, really funny stuff. The martial arts scenes are pretty dated. I mean, but, you know, still good for the time. Again, we're talking 1962. That's, you know, I know people think that it's great martial arts. I don't see that. But, you know, for its time, it was decent. There is no epic battle here. None, you know, you usually get that final climatic fight scene. You did get a final face-off, though, and it did lead to, like, the only gore of the film. But it was over fairly quickly. It wasn't a, don't want to give it away, but it wasn't a long drawn out battle. They are decent performances throughout the film. Good laughs and some nice storytelling make this a film I really recommend if you enjoyed Yojimbo. And I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Now, I honestly don't remember what I gave Yojimbo, but off the top of my head, I would think I probably gave it an 8. I'm giving this a 7. Again, I just think it's slightly less than the original film, but by no means is it a bad film, and definitely a film I think if you liked Yojimbo, you should definitely watch Sanjuro. And if you haven't seen Yojimbo, why haven't you? And then you need to watch both. You need to watch Yojimbo and follow it up with Sanjuro. Watch both films back to back. I trust me, you will enjoy these films. They are very, very, very fun films, entertaining, good-hearted, you know, funny stuff. I can't gush enough by Akira Kurosawa's work in these two films. And now we're going to move on to our wild card selection. And it's Fist of Legend. Now, it's made in 1994 out of Hong Kong. And I know a lot of you guys probably have seen this film, but for those who haven't, I mean, it is a film now. If you look at our calendar, this film's 22 years old. I can't even believe I'm saying that. This film is 22 years old. I am getting so old. I remember when this first got this film, first got the VHS tape over at 43rd Chamber, over in 43rd Street in downtown Manhattan, Times Square area. I remember and went home and watched this, and I think I must have watched it about 10 times in a row. Absolutely loved this film. And one of the reasons why I picked it, we'll talk in a second. First, I'm going to tell you who directed this film. This film was directed by Gordon Chan. Gordon Chan is most famous for directing many of the great Stephen Chow films, who I keep promising we are going to review a Stephen Chow film, and I'm going to review one next show, because I just love Stephen Chow, and it's really a travesty after 10 episodes we haven't spoken about one of his films yet. But Stephen Chow films like the Fight Back to School movies, The Royal Tramp 1 and 2, King of Beggars, which is probably the film we'll review, The Four Trilogy, which is not Stephen Chow, but something that Gordon Chan did. And a film stars Jet Li. And to my recollection, we have not reviewed a Jet Li film on this podcast. And that in itself is a crime. So Jet Li is the star of the film. His name is Chen Zhen. Of course, I almost feel stupid to say, you know, you may know where Jet Li's from. Jet Li may be the biggest Hong Kong star in America since Bruce Lee. He's been in films like Tai Chi Master. He was in the Once Upon a Time in China series. He did, I believe, four of those films. He was in the Expendables 1, 2, and 3. I'm sure you guys have seen that. So, yeah, Jet Li did a couple movies with DMX for a few years ago. So, yeah, Jet Li, that's a huge superstar, and I love the guy. And so definitely wanted to review a film, and this is really one of my favorites of his. Co-starring Chin Soo Ho as Ting An. He was also in Tai Chi Master, and he was in Don't Give a Damn with Sammo Hung. Yasuka Kurata, who plays Fumio Funakoshi. He was in A Book of Heroes, and he was the bad guy, if you saw So Close, which is another film we probably should review one day in this spot here. So Close, a film that a lot of people slept on, and is a lot better than people give credit for. And Shinobu Nakayama, who plays Mitsuko. You would know her maybe if you've seen the films Gamera, Guardian of the Universe. And as he came back in Gamera 3, which was subtitled, I believe it was The Revenge of Iris. So see, you might know her from those films. She was in those couple of New Wave Gamera films. And she plays Jet Li's love interest in the film. And the tagline for this is going to be torn between love and honor. So what's this about? A young Chinese student and martial arts expert studying in Japan returns to China to revenge the murder of his teacher. But he must not only battle the killers, but racial biases as well. Now, this is a remake of the 1972 Bruce Lee classic, Fist of Fury. Known in America as The Chinese Connection, which is not to be confused with Fists of Fury, which is also known as The Big Boss. I've always, people who don't know about Bruce Lee, it's always hard to explain to them that they named, you know, the actual film Fist of Fury was named Chinese Connection, and Fist of Fury was named The Big Boss. Why did they do that and not just name Fist of Fury Fist of Fury and make it easier? Who knows? But, in both these films, it's a Japanese occupation of China that is the underlying theme of the film. Now, this, in my opinion, one of Jet's best performances, especially in this, the early years. Jet is all types of badass in this film. Some of the best fight scenes anywhere in this era, very low, if any, wire work. The fight scenes are brutal, especially the out of this world final battle, which is in my top 10 favorite fight scenes ever. The acting is okay. I mean, no one really shined or really stunk. Jet was doing, you know, that stoic hero shtick he became famous for, but I thought he did it better here than in the other films. I really liked Shinobu Nakayama, who plays Jet's love interest. I thought she was very good in the film. She was probably one of the brightest spots. But like I said, I didn't really feel anybody was bad. Nobody, you know, I didn't feel anybody's performance rubbed me the wrong way or anything like that. But I would say that there was one that I shined it to. It was Shinobu. The story was layered a bit more than the original, and it worked. What I really liked was very small things in this film, very nuanced aspects of the film. Early in the film, we see Japanese students protesting the occupation in Japan. And we see other examples of the Japanese not being wholly evil. And that's not always the case in a Chinese production. I mean, a lot of times we see, you know, Japanese, they're the heavies. They're like the ultimate evil bad guys in these films. And I mean, you can understand that. I mean, China has a lot of anger towards being occupied from Japan. But what this film showed a little bit was that there were many who didn't agree with the occupation. Many Japanese, you know, and I like this because it shows that, you know, not everyone agrees with the government's decisions. I mean, we saw that here in America. As many people were against the war in Iraq. Many don't agree with the current president's drone policies, and some don't agree with him getting involved in a lot of foreign affairs and what have you. I mean, there's a lot of, right now with the presidential stuff going on, that seems to be like the big argument. Some people feel that Obama may be doing too much, and many of the Republicans feel he's not done enough. And you know, that's like a lot of people, you know, not politicians, but the people are on both sides of the fence. And that kind of shows what happens here is like there were students who were like, get out of China. Like, you know, like, and they had to hide when you would see like Japanese people go by, maybe officials or what have you. They ran because they were afraid of retaliation. But, you know, these students show that not everybody in Japan was evil. Not everybody in Japan was all about taking over China. Some of them felt it was wrong. And I just thought that's a very nuanced thing in this film. And it wasn't made a big deal about. But, you know, also, you know, Mitsuko, played by Shinobu Nakayama, is Japanese. And her uncle, also a Japanese character in this film, and he also is not made out to be a bad guy. There's another official who is kind of against a lot of what's happening. So I really like that they kind of didn't just make this out to be all Japanese are evil and they're thugs and, you know, they're killers and, you know, we have to fight up against them. Yes, some were, and those were the heavies of the film, but not everybody who was Japanese was bad. Again, just something very small. You know, like I said, it's a very slightly different take, but you know, it just shows there's good and bad, and, you know, in all people. And I just thought that was a nice thing they did here. The other part of this film that stood with me was the outward of bias against Mitsuko, who, although Japanese, as I'm just saying, is maybe the most wholesome character in the film, but due to her nationality, she is treated as a pariah here in China. So in many ways, making at certain points the Chinese look bad, the way they treated this innocent Japanese girl. This is just such advanced social commentary. You know, rings very true in today's society. I mean, let's look at, you know, how Muslims are treated by some because a small part of their faith are radicalized, you know, and it's this social commentary that puts this film on a higher level for me. I gave this film an 8.5 out of 10, and it's highly, highly recommended. You can see this film actually is on Netflix right now. If you guys have Netflix, you can see Fist of a Legend on Netflix. Sanjuro, if you have Hulu Plus, Sanjuro is on Hulu Plus. Baby, right now, you might be able to get a DVD of that somewhere online, but as far as I know, it's not been released in America. And SPL2, same thing, you can get it. There's a website you could go to. I'm not going to plug them because they don't give me anything. But believe me, you can go out and you can find an SPL2 copy. There are people that are selling those DVDs. You probably can even get it on, I haven't looked, but good chance you can probably go on eBay and find a copy of it. So, you know, all four of these films that we talked about are films you can get if you look for them. You know, I always try to give you guys a heads up if you want to see a film that I've gone over, where you can find it. Like I said, I actually watched the Netflix. I do own a Blu-ray of Fist of Legend, because how could I not? But I watched it on Netflix, just, I don't know why, because it was just easier, I guess, just to pull up Netflix on my smart TV. And, oh, what an incredible master they have there. Really outstanding video. It was a little different. The beginning's a little different. They have a little different credits and music at the beginning. But the film itself was pretty much intact as how the theatrical release was. So, yeah, you can check this out on Netflix and, you know, really, really love it. And there's a couple of other Jet Li films on there, too, Tai Chi Master. A couple of other ones you should check out as well. And that's our show. And thank you guys for coming back and listening with us. As I said, this one came out a little quicker than the gap we had between our last two shows. And I'm going to try to even shrink this next gap even more and try to get these shows out a little more frequently for you guys. And like I said, any suggestions, anything, feel free to leave a comment. I'd be happy to read them. Okay. And until next time, bye-bye.